Well, thank you very much for joining us for another weekend edition of the From the Horse's Mouth podcast. I am Patrick Canelli, and I am joined by two men who have seen more horse races than had hot dinners. Although, actually, I'm not sure about that. We'll ask them. It is, of course, Paddy Power and Matt Chapman this week. Right, Paddy, I'm going to start with you because we had a pre-Dante Festival brilliant podcast, and I asked for a nap, and I said we're going to be recording your naps, and it's going to be a naps table, and you gave me, do you remember what you gave me?
I think I gave you a horse that didn't run, did I?
Correct.
Yes, you, but that means it wasn't beaten. I told you it wouldn't be beat.
It wasn't. Matthew, so just to let you know, we are going to be recording your naps from now on. There is a naps table. It's going to be between you, Ruby Walsh, Paddy Power, and Frank Hickey. Do you fancy your chances?
I mean, look, it's a very average lineup outside of me, isn't it? So I'd be pretty confident. I mean, Walsh, I mean, a brilliant rider, but his tipping is just, well, actually, judged by his house, it's probably quite good. But yes, right. I am confident. I mean, look, put it like this. Considering on who I'm with the podcast today, I am not finishing last, am I?
Well, if Paddy can tip a horse that runs, that's a start. Anyway, well, fingers crossed he can get that far and get past that particular hurdle. Lads, we're going to chat about the ITV racing shortly, but first, before we do, we've had pretty much all the Derby and Oaks trials now at this stage. I know there's a couple of horses running at the weekend, the likes of Sir John Leaper, but realistically, we probably should have seen the Derby and Oaks winner. Matt, I asked you this at the start of the week, had we prior to York, or prior to last weekend, I should say, do you think you've seen the Derby? You have seen the Derby and Oaks winner. What are they?
Yeah, I mean, we've definitely seen the winners. I say definitely because the Haggis horse that won at Sandown early in the season would have to be supplemented, but I don't think that will. I'd be surprised if that happened now. Well, look, I'll just read you the final two paragraphs of my Saturday column, which won't take long, you'll be pleased to know. And it will kind of give you my opinion on the current Derby picture. I put, in all honesty, the Kazoo Derby picture is a mosaic of twisted form lines, with only Bolshoi Ballet having really shown their hand, but plenty of others with cards close to their chest, which could yet trump the field. There are now just 3 weeks to go until the greatest flat race of them all, but rather than seeing the winner in high definition, it's a bit murky out there. And that is genuinely how I feel. I mean, if the ground came up soft, I would still beg Godolphin to run Adea. I don't think they probably will, but I still think the horse who was second in the Lingfield Derby trial has much more to give. I think of the bigger prices, One Ruler, who is currently the second string, you would imagine, of Godolphin, is a ridiculous price in the region of 33 and 44 to 1, having been the number one Godolphin hope a week ago. If he happened to turn up, he'd definitely be there at a big price. And I mean, again, I won't read you all the column, but I mean, the general gist is, who will Ryan Moore ride? Mm. I mean, if Ryan Moore rides high definition will go off favourite for the Derby, I think. If Ryan Moore sticks with Bolshoi Ballet, then Bolshoi Ballet will shorten up in price. And I imagine high definition would drift quite badly because people would just say Moore doesn't think it will act on the track. So there's so much more to come from this race that we really don't know. And ground conditions obviously will play the key. We've got three Coolmore horses against three, basically, United Arab Emirates horses. I honestly don't have an opinion at this stage. I really don't. I've still got to work it all out.
That's okay. I'm impressed by your... Did you do English as an A-level? A mosaic of twisted form lines.
Well, history was my thing, but I am. I mean, look,
and
as
music,
Paddy knows,
and music.
While I'm part of the business. I'm super talented in many, many ways, and it's just nice to be able to share that bit of literature with you as the modern day Shakespeare.
Modern day Shakespeare. Oh my God, Paddy, you were saying he's more well known for his music, Matt Chapman. On what basis?
He has a master's in music or something, don't you, Matt? You're quite well qualified.
I mean, music and writing is kind of my thing. I mean, writing has always been my thing. It's just, as everyone knows who writes, it's very hard to earn a living being a writer. To be quite frank, it's a lot easier to earn a living being a TV person who just mouths off all day. So I chose that route because I wanted to pay the bills.
Fair enough. Paddy, Matt Matt finds the picture too murky at this stage. Have you got the Derby winner first?
Well, look, I just want to say, I was about to, like, kind of spout what I'm about to say and claim it as my own, but I had this pang of guilt because I was bringing my old man to the shops the other day, and it was actually 2 days ago, whatever, we were talking about the Dante in the car. And he's a very good judge. Now, Dad would be retired, but he'd be a very good judge. Always did his own prices as a bookie, like from way back when, you know, when he's looking through the old form books, like, you know, licking the thumb and all that kind of stuff.
Pre-Betfair days.
Oh, wait, a long, long time ago. And we were talking about high definition, and he was here. Well, the one impression that horse gave me last year that it just lacks tactical speed, and it'll get outpaced. And I think it'll get outpaced in the Dante, and I think it'll get outpaced in the Derby, and it's a ledger horse, and da da da. And I'm this morning again, I was bringing him down to the shops to get the papers, and he gets in the car and he says, "Well, I was right. I haven't lost it. I can still judge them, because that's exactly what happened. And high definition probably doesn't have the pace to win a Derby in the middle of the race. Yeah. And will be an unlucky third or fourth or second. Will stay on from miles back, and you'll say, 'Oh God,' because he'll be off the bridle from three or four out, and he'll stay on and stay on, but he'll just be outpaced in the middle. And that's probably what's right. So I think Bolshoi Ballet is the obvious one, because that form probably looks, I don't know, the form doesn't look stronger, but the visual performance maybe looks more impressive, because we haven't seen anything as visually good. But I'm actually quite interested in, it's typical me now, thinking like, now I fancy John Leaper for no reason other than the name connection that we said last week about the Dunlap, his dad was called John Leaper Dunlap or whatever, and all this kind of stuff, and just the fact they would have waited to name a good one. I was thinking this is all rubbish last week, but now I'm starting to believe, even though there's no reason, well, he's running tomorrow, and he'll probably win. If he wins in Prestwick tomorrow, he might shorten a bit. So I'm thinking it's an open Derby. And the Oaks, I think, the one that finished unlucky second to Chester, Zayada, is the one I'd like to be with in the Oaks. I think all the ladies this year, nothing looks amazing, does it? Like, so I think that one was the most visually not unlucky, but just one you'd say, okay, next time I'm back on that one. So I think kind of that's their only entry, isn't it, as well, in the Oaks. So I think Zayada for me in the Oaks, and John Leaper just for no logical reason, but why not in the Derby?
So okay. I'm with Paddy with Zayada. I very much think that. It's interesting that after all the trials, it comes down to the name of the horse that Paddy liked, the Derby. It was worth riding all those trials, wasn't it? All the hell, all the trainers have geared them up, and then it just came out with the one he liked the name of.
Poor old Paddy's really going to struggle when a horse is named Derby winner and it wins a 2-year-old race. It's like, lads, I tell you what, this race, this horse is going to win the Derby. I mean, they wouldn't have named it that. To be fair, I tipped up a horse a couple of pods ago called Cool Cullen, trained by Jim Bulger, on the basis of he's not going to name a bad one Cool Cullen. Turns out it's pretty bad. It's rated 64. That's not even worth it. So.
You know, the funny thing about the Oaks and the Derby, in some ways, two of the leading contenders are very similar, but just different sex, Santa Barbara and High Definition. The problem with High Definition and this theory that he's slow as an old boat. Now, you could argue you've got three races that have given you that idea. But in the back of my mind, there is just a chance that was completely a prep race yesterday. I mean, the way he was ridden, I mean, if that had been a maiden, everyone would have been going crazy and saying, "Did you see the third there? I mean, it wasn't today, was it?" sort of thing. There is just this possibility that there will be a completely different High Definition at Epsom to the one that we've seen so far. And let's just say that he was like a Tenosa or a Slip Anchor and went round in third or fourth place round the hill. And just think, there are two hooligan O'Brien horses going to go hammer and tong up front. He could easily slot into third or fourth, 10 lengths off the pacemakers, sort of thing. And that's the problem with, and again, I've argued this in the paper on Saturday, that's the problem with just deciding that High Definition is this slow old boat who should be the anti-post favourite for the Triumph Hurdle in 2022, is that you might just see a completely different horse next time. Because, I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't think he was ever going to win that race yesterday. It was like, the object wasn't really to win it, as far as I could see.
Okay, we've spent a lot of time in the Derby, but everyone's tuning in to get some winners on Saturday, and that's what we're going to do now, provide you with plenty of them. We've got the ITV racing to cover. We're going to go to Newbury for Lochinch Day. We'll cover the first four races live on ITV. The 150 is the Carnarvon Stakes. It sees Creative Force, who's won 3 out of 4. It's 7-4 favourite at the time of recording. 2-1 Tactical for Oshie Murphy and Andrew Balding. 5-1 Happy Romance. 7-1 Spycatcher. 11-1 Bar. Matt, come to you first. Your thoughts on the first on ITV. from Newbury.
Yeah, I got a mixture of being boring and being my usual very exciting individual self on Saturday. I'm starting being fairly boring. Not that it's a very short price, but I do think Tactical is the one to beat here. I mean, he was a useful two-year-old. He, you could argue, had progressed from two to three, which wouldn't have been necessary, judged by the two-year-old form, when winning first time out. That was over seven furlongs. I think he's a horse who's easily going to be suited to going back to six furlongs. Ashley Murphy on board, horse who's proven in soft ground. And although it's dry at the moment, I'm relatively close to Newbury. It is meant to lash down overnight and all day tomorrow. Indeed, in the UK, it's meant to lash down for the next week without a stop either day. It's going to be like living in Ireland. You know, everything for me, that stamina angle now, the fact it stays seven but comes back to six, the ground is likely to be even more testing than it is as we speak to at this moment. So I think Tactical will take all the beating. Best horse in the race already.
Tactical for Matt Paddy.
Funny enough, it's a very similar argument. It was a toss-up between the two of them, obviously Creative Force and Tactical. I just went with Tactical because didn't have the cleanest of runs at Newmarket, but still in a sprint race was good enough and had the pace to get out of trouble and to go and win. So that's impressive. And also earlier in the in his career as well, has won on Good to Soft as well. Because I didn't actually never looked at the forecast, but just saw it was Good to Soft. But as if it's going to be even softer, that's even more of an advantage. So I'd be stronger than I was after listening to Matt. But yeah, Tactical for me as well.
And you want to be Sir Paddy Power one day, don't you? You want something off the Queen at some point. Even though you're Irish, you think get something.
Hang on, my mother received the Diamond Jubilee trophy from the Queen. There you go. And there's a great photo of herself and the Queen having a good old giggle up there on the podium at Ascot. So there you go.
She's got the soul power.
Yeah, exactly. That was Slade, actually, for the
news. I know.
It's one of the powers, but sure, yeah. Your man, the other crew have taken all your names anyway now at this stage. Right, let's move on to the 225. It is the Al Rayyan Stakes. This is a really interesting poser, I think, put to punters, because Al-Azi, I think we know William Haggis thinks the world of this horse, and he was so impressive in the John Porter, but Logician was so impressive last year before the huge flop last time out. Paddy, I'll start with you this time. It is a match, right?
Yeah, I think so. And I went for Logician, and I'm going to make a fool of myself later on. But Al-Azi looks really hard to beat. But I'm just going to forgive Logician that one flop ever in his career, which is the last run in October. The thing I'm a bit worried about Logician, and I'm going to make this case for going against one of his horse later on, is that the Gosden stable is just a tiny bit quiet. Like they're normally banging them in, and I think they're running at about, you know, 11 or 13% or something, which isn't great for them. So that's a bit of a worry, but just think that it's 15-8 Logician, 10-11 Al-Azi, and Logician hasn't been, not that it's a huge price, hasn't been this big a price since the very first time it ran. Every other time, it's always a short price favorite, almost always delivers. So I'm just going to go with Logician that he's, you know, Al-Azi's the up and comer, but Logician's a decent benchmark for Al-Azi to be better than. So I think Logician for me.
It's a good race, Mathis.
Look, both of these horses could be in the Arc de Triomphe at the end of the season. They both could. So, I mean, genuinely, I don't think there's anyone who knows the answer to the question that we're trying to give the answer to, because Al-Azi is the apple of William Haggis's eye. He thinks the horse is absolutely top notch. But he does have a little screw loose, Al-Azi. He's not the most simple of horses on earth. You know, he's like Paddy and me. He's that, you know, genius, but he's a genius just because he's a little bit quirky. Logician, on the other hand, looked like he was going to be a monster. Remember, people were saying, like, Logician against Enable in the Arc was going to be the big smash-up a year ago. Obviously, that didn't work out. And so you've got a question. I mean, none of us know whether Logician's going to ever be the horse he was, do we? We, Paddy and I can sit here and say, you know, I'm hoping he'll come back to form. We don't know. But the one clue that perhaps we have is that he is still in training. And he's the type of horse that, I mean, I don't quite know what you'd do with him if you didn't keep him in training, because he's not really going to be a stallion. So, I mean, I guess he could be a National Hunt stallion. But I guess in some ways you have to keep trying with him and hope he can return to form. Look, he did have medical issues. They did sort things out with him. He had problems. So, look, on the price, I'm with Logician. I'll have no problem at all if Al-Azi absolutely hacks up and Logician is tailed off, because I can easily see that scenario. But if Logician is back to his best, Al Azi is going to have to be a very good horse to beat him. And, you know, there are even money shots in novice hurdles every day of the week that look to have very obvious chances. Al Azi is against what could be an absolute monster. So I don't really want to take a short price Al Azi. I'm with Logician as well, but already on this podcast, I'm kind of wishing I'd changed two of my selections already, because
I was just going to say, you guys are very much in sync at the moment. That's two races.
But the pageant, this is the problem, you see. I give my selections to Paddy Power at the 48-hour stage very quickly after declaration. Paddy's had time to study them, and he's just reeling out my blog.
Well, it is, to be fair, it is the one key form guide for me when I'm trying to pull out tips is Matt Chapman's blog. See, like, I forget about the race and post website or anything like that. It's just, or the time form, anything. It's just Matt Chapman, the Chapman blog. And I'm a subscriber, so I pay like the top dollar for Matt to get the one-on-one with Matt in the bath and all that kind of stuff. He tells me all about it. It's like an OnlyFans type relationship we have, you know.
On that basis, I'm hoping that perhaps when my contract comes up for renewal, my dollar will be up. Because I seem to be the lowest dollar and you're paying the top dollar.
We'll move on to the London Gold Cup, lads. It's due off at 3 o'clock. It's usually a big field for this really competitive handicap. It's a pretty small field for whatever reason this year, relative. It's 11 runners. That said, Paddy's going to be very generous anyway and go with four places. So that's a really, really decent incentive to try and find one a nice price each way. As we speak, folks, 4-1 joint favourites, the unbeaten Tamarada, Highland Rocker also 4-1, 9-2 Bay Bridge for Sir Michael Stout and Ryan Moore. Matt, come to you first. This race is typically throws in some unexposed three-year-olds going into handicap company. What are your thoughts?
Well, I've got my nap of the day here. It's an each-way nap. I know people will scream at the screen and say, you can't have an each-way nap, but of course you can, because otherwise you just end up tipping 1-2 shots all the time, and it's very boring for everyone, and it's a waste of time. Although, obviously, if you can tip a 33-1 winner outright, then fair play to you, but it doesn't happen that often. I think the last one I had was William Henry at the Cheltenham Festival on my Paddy Power blog, I hasten to add that.
Which Paddy is a subscriber?
Well, yeah, Paddy's living off that, isn't he, still? I'd nap Dubawi Sands here each way for Roger Varian and Andrea Razzini, a stable I like. He's had just the three runs, made his debut on heavy ground and ran really well. Since then, he's had two runs on faster going. Therefore, with the probable ease in the ground, I'm not worried about that. And I just think he looks a horse who's got more to offer, loves the trip, loves the ground, and isn't one of the favourites, although he's not a massive price. So I'm going Dubawi Sands, each way nap, 3 o'clock Newbury, Saturday, bang.
Paddy.
I had a toss up for my nap between this race and a different race. I'm going to go for the different race now.
You don't want to take on Matt, no?
Well, no, I just think it's better. I think it's better if we have naps in different races, obviously. And genuinely, I was between the two of them, and I just chose this because it was Newbury rather than Newmarket, which we come to in a few minutes. But anyway, the one I think is going to go off favourite is Bay Bridge for Michael Stout and Ryan Moore. I just thought the way, looking back at it there, was just so taking when stepped up to a mile and two for the first time. And that was only in the all-weather at Newcastle now, but absolutely hosed up by five lengths. And I'd say it's probably better than that, and that was probably the key. And just the mile and two is just tailor-made and just could be better than this, you know. And I mean, of the horses that have potential to make a mockery of this, Bay Bridge is certainly one of them. So I think Bay Bridge strongly fancy that.
Okay, lovely stuff. Right, move on to the big one. It's the Group 1 on the card. It is Lockinge Day, and the Lockinge is the Group 1. It's at 3:35 from Newbury. The straight mile, as always, Palace Pier, at the time of recording, 8-13, snipped in from 4-6, 6-1 Lope Fernandez, 8-1 My Oberon, 10-1 Top Rank, who's fast improving, 12-1 and Big Thrust. It's a big field for the Lockinge this year. All right, Matt, straight to you. Palace Pier, back or lay?
I'm going to be very quick here. I think he'll hack up. I think the ground will allow him. I'm hoping perhaps a special from Paddy, maybe an over length, something like that. Look, I think he's an outstanding miler. He loves the mud. He's going to probably be tried over 10 furlongs at some stage this season. Stamina, that extra bit of stamina will be absolutely key inside the final two furlongs. I thought he looked monstrous at Sandown first time out. I have a feeling Paddy's going to oppose him because he did give a slight clue earlier he was going to take on a Gosden horse. Yeah. This would be the obvious one at a short price. And I quite understand that. Look, from a tipping point of view, in this kind of thing, you don't get much out of telling people Palace Beer is likely to win the lockage. But I think you throw your money away on other horses. Lope Fernandez is a horse I loved last season. In fact, I shared one or two exchanges with Aidan about the horse. There were occasions when he absolutely travelled like a machine. But I have this theory with Lope, and that is that he travels like a machine against lesser horses. He's one of those that against Group 2s, Group 3s, he's always going to look as though when he goes to Group 1, he'll be a monster. And I think when he is asked, he doesn't, he's got too much natural ability. He doesn't really want to go through the pain barrier, Lope Fernandez. I'm all over Palace Beer. I've talked at length about a horse that everyone knows is going to win.
How far did you say he'd win by? Do you think?
I don't think it will be miles because, frankly, with the Queen Anne not too far away, he's not going to want to go crazy. So I reckon a couple of lengths plus.
Two lengths or more. It is a odds Paddy. Yeah, two lengths or more is available at the time of recording at 11 to 8. If you fancy three lengths or more, 9 to 4, or five lengths or more, 4, if it really teams down. Of course, it can, remember Hawk Wing. Wow, what did he win it by? By 5, 6, 7 lengths. Palace Beer is probably not going to do that. But two lengths or more would attract Matt by the sounds of things. Paddy, sounds like, as Matt said, you were against the Gosden horses.
Yep, Steed of Me Thunder, yeah. It was, and I was against the Gosden horses.
John and Thady.
John and Thady. And I think that that's for that reason I was going to take on Palace Pier, with just the theory that, you know, there's a small chance that it might bomb out. Now, the rain and all that kind of stuff coming it does temper my lack of confidence in Palace Pier. But Lope Fernandez is the one I was going for. And I'm just going to flick through the form guide there. And he's good to yielding a victory, good to yielding back in the day. So not all is lost. But what my theory about Lope Fernandez is, I totally agree with Matt. I think disappointed, in inverted commas, because still very good form last year, but disappointed probably based on what you always thought what the potential was. But yeah, I'm kind of taking a bit of a leap of faith that was, as a four-year-old, he'll have come on and grown a leg type of thing, and just maybe developed a bit more and mentally and everything like that. Because I just saw the first time up, and it was only listed race at Leopard's End. Again, to Matt's point, that, you know, does bully lesser horses, but, like, you know, looked monstrous that day at Leopardstown. And while the form isn't good enough, just shows he's in fine fettle, he's trained on, and all that kind of thing. And if he has developed as a four-year-old, and I'm taking into account that I think that if the Gosden horses aren't 100% fire, it doesn't mean Palace Pier won't win at Royal Ascot, because there's no way the Gosden's going to stay in bad form. He's not in bad form, but he's not going to stay, you know, not bombing them in up to Ascot. It's just a phase, I'm sure. So Lope Fernandez for this. But that, on this, talking about the specials, I also think I'm going to double down on that theory, which is probably wrong. I'm going to double down the theory anyway and say I'll go for the special Lope Fernandez and the other horse, My Oberon, to finish in the first four. The two of them to finish in the first four. Taking into account that I think Palace Pier might just disappoint. So that being the case, I think that's... Do you know what price that special
is? 2-1, I think, at the moment.
Yeah,
time
for the
recording,
two of them to finish in the first four. I think that could be an interesting bet. Like,
okay, do check those out on What Odds Paddy. Sorry, Matt, before we get to the market.
Can I just a couple of things on Paddy there. Firstly, blow one theory out of the water, because I watched that Leopardstown race and Lopey still had four legs. He hadn't grown anything else. So he is not going to suddenly turn up with another leg. Let's blow that out of the water straight away. One of the most ridiculous sayings in horse racing. And secondly, I have a theory with the Gosden. Look, I understand the statistics and you can't argue with them. But if I name... Well, if I said to you, name a decent two-year-old the Gosden trained last season, you would struggle. He did not have anything that was that exciting. And he's had quite a few no-hopers in classic trials. And I think the stats have been swayed by horses that basically they just aren't very good. And I think it's harsh to say the Staples out of form when they're running horses that can't win the races. I mean, they had horses at Chester in the classic trials that no one fancied. I mean, Uncle Bryn, I know Frankie sort of vaguely talked it up a bit, but no one really thought that was going to go and win the Dante. You know, Meg Allen ran well in the Dante. He's, funny enough, a much underrated horse. He's going to be the 2021 Mishriff of 2020, I think, Meg Allen. But I just don't think they're out of form. I just don't think they're very good. And there is a difference.
Yep. All right. Let's move quickly on to Newmarket, folks. We've got three races to cover. The 205 is the first of those. It is the Betfair Fairway Stakes. And if there is to be a late springer into the Derby, Maybe we'll see him in this race. Matt Chapman, John Leeper is the 6-4 favourite at the time of recording. Fancy Man 9-4, 11-2 Tasman Bay, 6-1 and bigger. The rest of your thoughts?
Well, put it like this. If anyone's still awake after our Derby coverage at the start of this conversation, we know where Paddy's going to turn here. But I actually genuinely think that Fancy Man will turn over John Leeper. Look, John Leeper might be very good. And I've had one or two conversations with connections from the stable. And they really do think, and it's uncanny how over the years, for the size of stable, in many ways, Ed Dunlop doesn't have quite as many winners as you'd think. But when you look at his superstars, he has had a whole load of them stretched out over his career. Ouija board, of course, the most obvious of them. But I thought, look, I am Sean Levy's biggest advocate. I big him up on telly. I love the boy. I think he's a great, great person. And I think he's a great jockey. But I think he would want to ride Fancy Man again if he had the chance at Chester. He clearly went to the front too soon and the horse ran out of petrol. I think Fancy Man will win this.
Paddy?
I mean, if I think John Leeper's got a chance in the Derby, I think John Leeper's going to win this illicit race. So, yeah, John Leeper for me all the way.
Simple. Right, moving on to the 240. It is the King Charles II Stakes. No idea who King Charles was. I'm sure he was very important. Belosa 6-4, 130 Cloudbridge, 15-4 Devil Walla, 4-1 Fundamental. And then the rest don't count, Paddy.
Funny enough, I think this might be a bit of a one-horse race. I think Belosa, I mean, again, a bit fairy tale stuff here, but won by 7 lengths on debut. Yeah. Again, no idea how good she is, but she's better than all right, I'd say, based on that. Like, I mean, so I'm just taking a punt that Belosa is very, very good, and 6-4 might make a mockery of that price.
Matthew? He's got the giggles.
No, it was the King Charles II, because
go on,
King Charles II was your king.
Ah, would you stop? Yeah, I hear now. If we want to
our king, his name would have been Cahill, not Charles.
If we want to start a history podcast, he might have been the king ruling over this island, but I tell you why, he wasn't our king, huh?
Well, he was, I'm afraid. If he'd had a choice, he might have not bothered, but he was. Anyway, we won't go into it now. We could start all sorts of trouble.
The comments should be good on this podcast, yeah, anyway, PK, time, to be fair.
Yeah, he's king of England, Scotland and Ireland. But anyway, he seemed to give Wales a miss, but who knows. Anyway, everything Paddy said is correct. Look, Jane Chapel Harm has sort of bubbled under the surface. I mean, she has great relations, which you kind of thought meant that at some point she'd get better horses. It is only recently happened. I mean, remember, this is a lady related to the Sanctors and everyone. I mean, she should have some money backing her. And it appears she's finally getting some money. Saffron Beach ran an absolute cracker in the 1,000 guineas, as I predicted on the podcast as my each-way selection in that great race. Well done, me. And Belosa could be very, very good. Very hard to judge on the debut. Usually when a horse wins a maiden or a novice by miles, it generally says more about the opposition than the actual horse. But of course, you get the odd freak. I got nothing against Belosa. I'm going to tip Devil Walla, who is probably my Lope Y Fernandez, in that Devil Walla's been running in races it cannot win. I mean, the 2,000 guineas, Breeders' Cups, etc. This is a big, big drop in grade. And if you actually consider this horse finished fourth in the Dewhurst, not beaten far, that Dewhurst fourth ought to be good enough to win this, I think, depending on whether Belosa is an absolute monster.
Okay, Devil Walla from Matt. Moving on to the 3:15. This is 6 furlong handicap. No historical titles or grand. We won't cause any issues here. We are going to give you 5 places instead of the usual 4, subject to the horses staying at their ground. Jumbi, the one to beat for Eve Johnson Horton and William Buick at the moment on the prices at 16-5. Love these funny prices. 11-2 Perotta, 13-2 Seven Brothers. First Follow, 15-2. Your final race to give us, Matthew. Let's go out and a winner.
Yeah, going on a little bit more of a price here. Desert Gulf for William Knight and Marco Gianni. The smiling Marco takes off 3 pounds, brings the weight right down. Look, this horse ran on the all-weather. Was carried left at the start last time over 7 furlongs. Still ran okay, but never really had the chance to win after a poor start. I have a feeling he might be much better on the turf. William Knight is a quality trainer, in my opinion, and Gianni brings the weight down. So I thought he had a good each-way chance in what I considered was a hard race.
Yeah, it is. Paddy, your thoughts?
I like Parotto here, the second favourite for Marcus Tregoning and Ray Dawson. It's a two beside its name from last time out, but if you look at that race, it was a very slowly, I think, reared up in the stalls and had to like really be pushed along to catch up with the field. So probably used up plenty of petrol at the wrong time at the very start of the race to just even catch up with them. So the fact he managed to go on and finish second of the race is probably eye-catching. And I think that would be good enough.
Matt, give us a 25-1 shot in that race, each way five places, and Paddy going top of the market, 11-2. Before we move to Sunday, folks, your Saturday naps, I know you've said them already, but just to repeat, Paddy, remember this is on the table, your Saturday nap.
The one I just mentioned, Parotto, 3:15 Newmarket.
Ooh, I thought John Deeper was going to be there. Okay, all right, Parotto, okay. And Matt, just a reminder.
Well, I don't know whether the each way counts in the naps table if you finish second at a price, but I'm going Dubawi Sands. Each way, yeah, now
makes my job more difficult. Of you know, I have to my 50 yards. Can you just go win only now?
No, but for the purpose of the table, I'm happy to do that. Although I'm in Palace Pier just to
you
just
see
to
what he's trying top. To do. He's Matt has always been a strategist. Like he was when he was managing jockeys and all that kind of stuff. We'd always plan out their season and you know the best opportunity they have, whatever. And his strategy here is, in the likely event that he doesn't finish top of the table, he now has a legitimate moan to make a mockery of the entire competition, because if you add up the places and all that kind of stuff, he would have been thereabouts. So.
Okay.
If on that basis, Paddy will be going each way 10 places in every race he has a tip in.
Yeah. Well, just to confirm.
Yeah, the company will go bust when I'm just trying to get myself up the naps table by doing 20 places each way.
I'll finish 21st. Parotto, yeah. You're each way, Paddy, or win only in the 11-2 shot?
I'm just fire on the nose, yeah.
On the nose, 11-2. Matt, each way. Four places, Matt, to follow as well. So for that, for Dubawi Sands at 8-1. Thank you very much. Please hang on. We've got Sunday to cover very shortly.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Okay, let's look ahead to a Super Sunday of racing. Matt out, Frank in. We have substituted Matt Chapman, who has gone off to get his hair done for York and Newbury, etc. the weekend. Frank, how are you? Thanks for joining part two.
I'm good. That skin tone has taken a massive turn for the pasty for the second half of the show.
Well, ironically, the guy who's on ITV doesn't have a mic set up, but you sound crystal clear. You know, the TV's personality, he called himself.
He gets someone to do that sort of thing for him, you know.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I have to do it myself. I know. Yeah, he looks the part for television, and that's the difference, PK.
Well, you missed the history lesson. I was schooled about King Charles, who apparently was our king. But anyway, you can listen back and understand and have a listen to see what that was all about. We've got you in because we've got a really good card at Nace, and we've got other racing elsewhere to look at. But before we get to Sunday, Paddy, actually, you reminded me while we're off air, there's actually a horse in your mother's colours running on Saturday you wanted to give a mention to?
Yeah, just Simba Power at Navan in the 2:30 at Saturday. It's the maiden race, and just had one run before Simba Power and was probably didn't get the run of the race, really was a little bit unlucky and still ran pretty well. Okay. So I think like it's not going to be a sole pair, a slave pair, like that. Well, who knows, but I doubt it. But we haven't had a winner for ages and ages and ages, and I just have a good feeling about Simba. I know that they think he's okay. It'd probably be a decent price because it doesn't look much his early run in the form book, but just having watched the race, probably didn't go to, it didn't work from that day. So Simba Power, I think, will have a squeak each way in that 2:30 at Navan in the second race.
Lovely. Well, watch out for that. So when you're still living off that 100-1 Soul Power tip on Irish National Radio, and you'll forever live off that, I'd say, to be fair. Now, Nace is live on RTE for those in Ireland, live on terrestrial television. There are six races live on RTE. We're going to really go quickly through these because we're running right over time. The 10 past three is a two-year-old race. It is a conditions race. We could see, I think, a Royal Ascot horse in this race in Catamosto, Frank. Could we?
Yeah, I think so. Cost 130 grand. He's by no name ever. So like, look at the ground. It's yielding at the moment. There is some rain forecast on Saturday and showers on Sunday. It might be on the soft side, potentially. But yeah, he was very impressive at Dundalk and winning over 5 furlongs, easy accounting for the reopposing Silver Surfer. Silver Surfer finished in front of Andreas Veselius last time. So Kadamasa should hold him as well. Twilight Jed might be the danger for Michael O'Callaghan. Cost a few bob.
Okay.
But would need to be well above average. But Kadamasa should really be winning. And this be one maybe to look at the distance specials if you want to bet. Maybe I'd imagine he'd be short enough and maybe, I don't know, something like two lengths or more or something like that.
Paddy, very quickly.
Kadamasa all the way.
There we go. Let's move on to, now Paddy, if you don't give us a winner of this race, you are sacked. It is the Soul Power Sprint Stakes. It is named after the greatest horse of all time, according to your family. Well, him or Slade, I'm not sure where he stands. Do you have any involvement in this race, or is it a case you just gave
it's
you?
Actually, the sponsorship is my parents and Eddie Lynham. It's a half and half, put up the prize fund and the sponsorship and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, they're doing it in memory of Soul Power. And I think he's still alive. He's living down in British Bay, actually.
Is he?
John Cullinan's. Yeah, I go and see him.
I'm like two minutes from British Bay.
Himself and Empirical Power is our first ever horse. The two of them share a field and they have the crack together all the time.
I wouldn't say
he's fat as a fool, but he's certainly enjoying life, you know. And then he's still straight over, recognized mum immediately, straight over.
That's
to her
brilliant.
Looking, sniffing away, looking for the apples and the sugar lumps and whatever. So
a legend.
There you go.
Okay, but anyway, so you have to tip the winner in his race.
I have to tip the winner of the Soul Power race. And I started off looking at Eddie as one runner, Eddie Lynham, Romantic Proposal, but it's a bit of a stretch, dropping from 7 furlongs to 5, so probably can't tip up that. And the one I'd probably go for is course and distance winner Mi Esperanza, number 9 in the card for Andrew Slattery. And I think that will go fairly close. These sprinters, when they get on a roll, They tend to keep, you know what I mean? The more you race, the better you get nearly as a sprinter. So when they get in the road, stick with them.
Frank, what's your hope? I think Mi Esperanza means my hope. I think it does. Anyway, Frank.
What's my hope?
Yeah, well, Mi Esperanza, I think it means something like my hope or my, you know, if that's what
Frank's hope is he gets a bit of kip tonight.
I'm going to say, that maybe. It was a poor night last night. The young fella roaring and screeching, I don't know. And then I got him up and we did the usual. Give him some Calpol. That usually fixes everything.
I was given whiskey. But my parents gave up. It was just whiskey on the duty.
It explained plenty, PK. I made the mistake then of not putting him straight back into the cot. I lay him down with me for a little bit and showed him 5 minutes of Peppa. And then I'd say, wanted more of that. When I put him back into the cot, then he went hysterical.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Sure, I'm learning as I go along.
Good man. You know,
I'll learn for the next time. But look, the one I would take a chance on, assuming she's probably going to be big prices back to Brussels. Look, Make a Challenge in his best form would be difficult to beat, but I think he's been slightly below form on both starts this season, when third at Cork and fourth at Naas last time. Back to Brussels has half length to make up at Harry's Bar, and last time at Naas, where Make a Challenge was actually fourth, they were behind Moonista. But that was dropping to 5 furlongs on decent ground. I think it was good to form on the day, and I think she'd appreciate rain, which it's definitely going to be yielding. It potentially could be soft. Her two wins have come on yielding ground as a juvenile on debut and in a median auction race at Cork last year on heavy ground. So rain's no issue for her. I just think the way she was finishing off the last day, just a bit of soft ground might, you know, stop the others in front getting away from her, and then she can finish strongly. She'll be a price as well.
Yeah.
Back to Brussels. I haven't been back in Brussels since I think 2002. I went for New Year's Eve. And I got really sick.
Because of the 10% beers?
Yes, 10% beers.
Yeah, they're nuts. Like, you can have two beers and then good luck. Yeah, you're seeing stuff on the walls and stuff.
Oh, blew the brains out of me. Yeah. Never again.
I don't know how the Belgians like stand up. I don't know how they go to work. Like,
they drink at a normal pace. We drink at Irish pace. That's the thing, you know.
Yeah, that's pretty smart, I suppose. And they eat loads of waffles.
International pace, shall we say. We drink at Irish pace. Yeah.
Okay. And maybe they don't do the whole round system that we do over here, which is just ridiculous.
Yeah, like, you're in a group of 10 people and you start a round system. That's a good idea. Like, yeah.
That's kind of what we had. I think there was a group of like 15.
Yeah, and you have to get your round in, you know.
Oh, good luck. All right. Look, Paddy, we're working off these no prices. Yeah, I think your horse is going to be a massive price because I see she has a rating of 76 and she's running against horses rated 106. So, and then as you said, Frank, I think that you're dead right that I'd say Back to Brussels would be a big price. Let's move on to the 4:10. It is the Coolmore sponsored Phillies Sprint. It is a Group 3, 40 grand for the winner. So really good pot here, but only 7 runners for these juveniles. Again, probably Royal Ascot Clues. Frank, your thoughts?
I was going to say, if we don't see a Royal Ascot horse in Kadamasta, I'd be pretty sure we'll see a Royal Ascot horse in Cantarella Chapelle. She's by Caravaggio. He's had 4 winners from 10 runners to date. 10 individual runners now, not 10 runs in total. Yeah. And she is a half sister to the likes of Fancy Blue, who is very useful. Fancy Blue was 2 from 2 as a juvenile, dual group 1 winner as a 3-year-old, trained by Dunica as opposed to Aiden. This Cantor Ali Chappelle was very impressive at Nace and debut over 6 furlongs, easily accounting for Juncture, who was a very well backed newcomer for Gerlines. Freedom of Speech, I think, was 3rd. And won next time out and reopposes here. And Cantor Ali Chappelle won despite being quite green. Mm. So you'd imagine she could improve for that experience as well. If she improves, she's going to be very difficult to beat. Like, she won that day by 5.5 lengths. Quick Susie might be the danger. She was impressed with the car last time after a promising debut. But if Cantor Ali Chappelle improves at all for the debut, I don't think they'll see which way she goes.
Mr. Power?
Yeah, funny, I like, you know, Quick Susie won by 5.5 lengths as well, I'll have you know. So I was taken by that. And I just think Quick Susie's going to be maybe too big a prize versus Cantor Ali Chappell. But like, who knows? I mean, Frank's probably right, to be honest.
Okay, well, maybe the two in a forecast, perhaps. Cantor Ali Chappell and Quick Susie, watch out for those in the Philly Sprint, the 10 past 4. The 440 is the golf-sponsored Lacken Stakes. It's a Group 3. Again, we're sprinting, folks. It's 6 furlongs, the trip here. Aidan O'Brien's got got a few in the race. He's got Giorgio Vasari and Lipit Sanner. His son Joseph's got one as well. I'll come to you first, Paddy, this time.
I found this race quite hard to get my head around. I just came down to taking a chance on Law of Indices for Billy Lee and Ken Condon. I think it was obviously a bit disappointing first time out this year, but last year that was some decent form in the book, especially kind of in the summer. So, and that was kind of on yielding-ish ground. So I think coming into the time of year where the horse kind of seemed to perform at his best, as far as we know. So I think Law of Indices maybe, but not a hugely confident selection.
It's fair to say, Frank, you put up an impressive winning performance here. You'll book your ticket for the Commonwealth at Royal Ascot?
Oh, definitely, yeah. Look, Aidan's won the last 3 renewals of the race with So Perfect, So Nation and Caravaggio. I don't think there's a Caravaggio in the race anyway. Lipizzaner thinks his first string potentially might be favoured, but he'd need to build in his 3rd behind Measure of Magic at Navan over 5.5 furlongs. A case of you, the other one that could be prominent in the market, very well backed for the 2000 Guineas trial at Leopardstown, was very disappointed, but he had bolted up on his 2 previous starts, which were both over 6 furlongs. So maybe the 7 furlongs was a little bit of an issue, but in saying that, I think he finished last, so I don't think it was all the trip either. But for me, the one is Law of Indices, the same as Paddy said.
Oh, lovely.
Step forward massively for his debut last year. I think he finished 9th on debut, won his maiden on his 2nd start, then beat Lucky Vega in a Group 2 at the Curragh on his 3rd start. And he wasn't disgraced in his next 3 runs at all, which all came in Group 1 company. He was a big price on reappearance at Leopardstown in that 2000 Guineas trial when he was 22-1. He had a penalty for that. He'll carry a penalty again in this race. But I thought he shaped really, really nicely running on into, I think, he kind of ran on into 4th, was it?
5th, but he's only beaten a couple of lengths, I think, yeah.
Yeah, his run flattened out a little bit in the end, which suggests the run was probably needed and the price he went off. And I'm just a big fan of Ken Condon. I've never met him, but I just seem to think he gives the impression he's a really nice fella. So I'd like to see him do well. And for me, Law of Indices, he's a very good horse, and hopefully, despite the penalty, he might be able to go close here.
Frank and Paddy hoping nice guys finish first with Ken Condon's Law of Indices. Okay, the 10 past 5 is a 7 furlong race. It's essentially a staying race compared to the other ones we've had so far at Nace on Sunday. It's the Owenstown Stud Stakes. We've got a field of 9 horses declared for this. 3-year-old, 1 3-year-old, 2 3-year-olds, sorry, I should say, Snap Proterra and Admiral Nelson taking on the older horses. Frank, this time you come first.
Yeah, I'm going to go for one of Jim Bulger. Jim's definitely a man who has never been empty reach in the day after drinking 10% beers in Brussels.
Well, he would never drink a beer, would he? Like,
no, that's it. Yeah. He's never trying for that.
He's sitting there in the corner going, I told you so, I told you so, I told you so. Now, off to the yard, muck out. Oh, no. Or off to mass, sorry.
So Fiscal Rules is the one I like. Look, very disappointed in the last day of Cork. I thought over 7 furlongs in a Group 3. Look, he got checked in the run, but I think he was weakening out of it at that stage anyway. I thought he ran really well in his reappearance at Cork over 6 furlongs from 2nd to last minute. That trip should have been far too sharp for him, considering he was running over a mile and even 10 furlongs last year. I'm willing to forgive the poor run the last day. He has a little bit to find on ratings with the likes of Nord, but I think a mark of 102 is like it's almost on a handicap, but I think he's got the potential to rate a good bit higher when everything kind of clicks with him. And Jim Bulger remains in great form. He's had 7 winners from his last 34 runners with a strike rate of 21%. So Fiscal Rules for me, I'll give him one more chance.
Paddy?
I'm actually going to go for Njord, the one Frank just mentioned there. Won the Balmoral at Ascot, yeah. At the straight handicap. Now, that was softer ground probably than it's going to be on Sunday, but there might be a bit of rain, as Frank said. So that being the case might help Njord. And I just think that first run this season might hopefully have left him spot on, or maybe not spot on for today, but certainly come on for the first run where he finished ninth for this season. So or recently, so I think might be a decent price, Njord.
Yeah,
I noticed you didn't go for Lusthown Baba. That's one of your cliff horses, Frank, isn't it?
It's one of the lads who's actually a mechanic. He owns a garage in Dunboyne and services my car all the time, and very nice fella. And his wife be very friendly with my wife. He's involved in that horse, so that's why I'd have an eye on it. But I just think she'd be better at six on proper soft ground rather than seven. But she's definitely one that'll win a nice race.
If he services your car all the time, you might need a new car.
I'm going to say all the time. Is joking, whatever it needs to be serviced. Like I say, he does a very good job.
Yeah. We're running out of time, folks. And Frank, you did want to mention one of Wexford, though.
One of Wexford for a friend of mine trains it. Going back to, I know I've said before, when I was in boarding school, I was a sacristan for 2 years.
That still keeps me up at night.
At no time was the level of sacristan lower than when I was. There was two sacristans, one in fifth year, one in fourth year. When I was in fifth year, the fourth year sacristan was James DeLay, would you believe?
Oh,
the trainer.
Wow.
And we were very unholy. I can tell you the story that coming up to the weekend where you'd have the underage discos, we'd be bringing down our Coke bottles and filling them with the altar wine to take home at the weekend.
That's a great that altar wine, I never had it. It tastes like it's real sweet or something, is it?
It's rotten, but I think it was 14% and you're tired enough to get it.
That's grand.
16 or something, but we were not holy at all. Like I said, we'd be eating all the altar breads as well.
That's not exactly nutritious or delicious. Like, why would you bother?
I don't know. Just you're hungry. You're in boarding school. You
have so many winners drinking all that altar wine, eating all those holy breads.
Yeah, how are you not holy? You should be. You should be basically floating on air at this stage, given the amount of holy stuff you got inside you now.
Maybe I did too much then, and now I'm trying to balance it out later in life. But James DeLay was the other fella. He's a good lad. He was a good hurler too, and he's a good trainer. He does very well with what he has, and he's Master Cornwall in the 225 at Wexford, a 2 mile, 1 furlong handicap hurdle. Look, there's plenty of unexposed types here. I wouldn't be massively confident because there could be something lurking, but James, the trainer, I have massive respect for, not just because I know him from school, but like you go look at him, he's very capable of getting winners. I think it's a Just Get Cracking. Did he win at Leopardstown with that? And he's Rocky Silver and a few. He's won some nice races with some good horses. And this Master Cornwall rated 69 in the flat. That rating might overestimate him a little bit, but at the same time, when you compare it to his hurdles rating, it just makes him interesting. He showed nothing on 3 hurdles, runs and maidens. Then went into handicap company at Tremor the last day, was beaten less than, I think, about 4 lengths in third off market 93. James actually won the race with a more fancied runner in Sweet 16. Master Cornwall's got up 2 pounds, but I'd expect if he puts in a better round of jumping, he could go very close here.
Okay, Frank. We've already got Paddy's nap. It's on Saturday. It's a horse called Perotto. It's 11 to 2. You've both started brilliantly on this naps table. We've both tipping up non-runners on Monday. So your nap of the weekend, Frank. Oh, and Matt Chapman also tipped up to Bowie Sands in the London Gold Cup, just to give you.
Yeah, I didn't have a proper look at
that. That's fine. You can give us one Sunday.
I'll have to give one Sunday, and I'll go for... I'll go for Contrelli Chapelle. It's short.
Oh, that's going to be like... It's not going to be 1-2 or something.
Look, we'll just go a law of indices then. We'll take a chance.
I mean, you tip up what you like. Don't let me put you off.
Can I take a point? Yeah. Look, we'll put up just law of indices.
Okay.
We'll
go for small law of indices. I don't have a price on that yet.
It's great the confidence that the tipsters have in their naps, isn't it? Like, so Matt tips, Asher, I'll change my nap, so I'll go to a different race. And then Frank's here, I'll go, Asher, look, I'll go for the other one instead. It's
great. I'm gonna tip up Wordsworth.
It's like getting two naps, though.
I'm going to tip up Wordsworth at Navan on Saturday. I don't know if it's priced up yet. He's probably going to be 1-4. But I'm going to get off to a winner. That's my plan. And then
So when I went to get off to a winner, you fucking talked me out of it.
Wordsworth. I fancied him for the Derby. So like as Paddy was saying earlier, if he fancies John Leeper for the Derby, he's going to fancy him on Saturday. So I'm going Wordsworth.
John Leeper, very interesting.
Yeah, he is. He's 6-4. Very now, Thank you, gentlemen. That was a very long podcast, but it's a very enjoyable podcast. Frank, you'll be back next week, early next week, with myself and a returning Ruby Walsh. We're going to look ahead to the Irish 1000-2000 Guineas Festival in our Festival Focus bonus podcast next week. Hopefully, it'll land in your inboxes around Tuesday.
Do you reckon Ruby will have had his hair cut?
I hope so, because he's had plenty of opportunities now at this stage. Mm-hmm. You'd like to think so. That said, he did ring me today to say Tuesday may not suit him because William Mullins is sending horses to Auteuil. So, sure, well, look, we'll try. We'll squeeze it in at some stage. But anyway, obviously, William Mullins is going to have a nice little raiding party to France to watch out for. But yeah, we're going to look ahead to the 1,000, 2,000 Guineas, Frank, yeah, Ruby, and myself.
Hopefully he gets his hair cut, because the one thing my missus says whenever she sees him, like, Jesus, would he ever get his hair cut?
Well, my mum says
he looks great. Tell him not to get his hair cut. That's because all the men in her family are basically bald.
I'm getting mine on Friday next week, and I'm before our pod next week at the weekend. So you guys get to see it in all its glory, and I'm very excited about it. Frank, you probably don't need one for another few years. Sorry,
I'd just be happy. Yeah, you know, if I give me like just 2 minute job, then the ease is 20 quid they'll ever get. Like.
Well, the trip to Turkey, at the moment, we're on zero. So, you know, things can only get better on that trip to Turkey. But, gentlemen, enjoy your weekend. Thank you so much for listening. Please do gamble responsibly. There are ways of getting information on that if you do feel you are struggling, online at paddyparrot.gambling.com. But also remember, please do stay safe, stay well. We got sun on the horizon. We're going outside for pints soon as well. Really looking forward to it. Hope you back a few winners. And do tune in next week to our special pod on the Guineas.